You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 213 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, September 16th of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by my lovely two co-hosts coming all the way from Nazua, New Hampshire. I have no idea if I said that right because I've never learned how to pronounce the name of your town.
Hold on. Okay. Have you seen The Office?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. Coming all the way from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
No. That's not what I was getting at. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay, so Nashua is actually like a huge... that's actually a huge like point of interest in The Office because that's where Michael's wife is from. Or like his... girlfriend, wife, person. Like, she worked at the Nashua office.
All right. Coming all the way from Michael Scott's backyard, we have Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
No, I'm not from Nashua. That's
not He's not from here. Nashua. I'm the one from Nashua. What are you talking about, JR?
I mean, so dating Michael Scott's girlfriend, Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
Yes, pretty good. I mean... that lady's a little bit too old for me, but you know what? I mean, hey. I'm a pretty lonely person. I'll take that.
True.
I'm kidding.
Well, not really. Drop some bombs at the start of the show.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'm sorry. It's been going pretty well. I mean, I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone when I can, a little bit of TFT when I can. And I mean, when I play, I've been doing really well. Yeah. I just haven't had too much time to play. I've just been really busy doing doctor stuff. And then afterwards, like when I get home, I've just been exhausted lately. Yeah. Like it's been a brutal month. But, you know, after this month, after I get all that stuff taken care of, then I'll be back to the regularly scheduled memes.
Yeah. Yeah. The end of the month is when you have your stuff, right?
It's October 8th. Right? It's October 8th okay. Now.
It's the beginning of
it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like the 28th or something right. Like that, but then they had to move it back a week.
I see. And then coming all the way from Ray's basement, we have Danny Donuts. How's it going, Danny?
Good. It's nice to be back in Nashua. I wasn't in Nashua this weekend. I was actually in Miami watching the Patriots game.
Nobody cares.
Oh my god,
that was a fun game to be at. But yeah, I flew back today, and I probably had the funniest moment that was kind of serious, except not really ever. I get on the plane to fly home, and my dad is sitting to the right of me, and so he's been watching videos on Netflix on one of his, I don't know if it's an iPad or Fire or whatever, but he's watching something on Netflix, and his headphones weren't synced up to it at the point. So he turns on the video he had saved, 9/11 conspiracy theories, in the middle of the plane. And it starts off with the plane going into the building. It makes a huge noise. And then I'm like, Dad, it's not synced up. And everyone's looking around. And I'm like, this is so funny. It was scary in the moment, too. But like, and my dad's like, sorry about that. What? So funny.
Why?
So, that's exactly what I said. Why are you watching this on a plane?
Right. There's like two. There's two things here. There's two things here that I'm failing to understand. One, it's funny. You know, it's funny when someone doesn't have something synced up like that, right? So that's the funny part of the story. But two is, why is he watching that? On an airplane
of all places.
Like, if I'm flying, I don't want to watch a plane crashing. I don't understand.
So he had a lot of recommended videos that he was looking through on Netflix, and he downloaded a couple of them beforehand. Like, he was watching, I'm not sure if you guys remember the Twitter incident a while back where they had that fire festival and they completely butchered it, and like, yeah, there's a bunch of lawsuits
they made
going
like
on.
A
so
Netflix thing about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was watching the Netflix thing on that, and then the next recommended video was that. He's like, sure, and he went ahead to it.
And then, like, not only would I not want to watch that on a plane, but I'd be afraid of other people watching me watch that on a plane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was that documentary format. So you would say, so besides the one moment where you see that, it was good for the rest of the thing because it was interviewing people about the situation and all of that. So it was a fine, it's like a reputable thing. It's something that I actually kind of want to watch it now myself, but it's something that's interesting, and there's something behind it. But that just one moment when it happened was like, it was literally out of a sitcom.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's no recovering from that. You're just like, well, this happened. Let's just let this sit in the room for a bit. And by room, I mean plane. And yeah, that's just, that's, I don't know. You just got to sit there and you just got to go with it.
I love starting the show because Danny always comes every week with the best stories.
Yeah, like some good stories.
Something happens to Danny in the last week that is always off the wall that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
What did I do?
I try to keep my good stuff for this.
Oh man.
I need more stories. I need to go out with Danny, dude. Once I'm better, just go make some crazy stories. I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll go to a bar and like watch a bar fight or something.
Let's be fair, right? You did have the yacht story.
I mean, that's a pretty good story.
And you told it like really bad. And so John had to tell it for you and make it actually interesting. So I don't know if you, even if you had cool stuff happen to you.
He's just got to work on his storytelling skills. That's what
you got to work on your storytelling
skills. Yeah. Become a bard. Go through, learn how to recite some poetry. You'll be all good.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did I have happened this week?
Are you writing in your journal right now? Is that what's happening?
Oh. Panda Global tweeted about that one time that I met Kanye West, but then I got all my stuff stolen, so I didn't have any pictures except for this one picture that I had, which was my only picture, but it wasn't of me with him. It was of my friend with him in the background. My friend was just kind of there. He wasn't really like with him. It was more like he was just in the background and I took a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good story.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's how I'm ending that. So anyway, speaking of Hearthstone, which was totally what we weren't talking about before, but we are now because this is a Hearthstone podcast. The big news this week, not big news. There's actually a lot of big news, and this is probably the smallest of the news out of all of them, is we do have a new Tavern Brawl, and we have a new Tavern Brawl every week, but this one is the Three Wishes Brawl. We had some hints from Celestalon a couple weeks ago that they were going to have a Zephyrs related Tavern Brawl, and the Three Wishes one is the one that we got. And basically, you all get random decks. It's, you know, it's Hearthstone. It's the whole random number generator clown fiesta going on. And the coin flip simulator. And basically, you get three wishes in your decks that basically work like Zephyrs. You get one, you play it, and then, you know, it's just, you get three Zephyrs in your deck. That's basically it. I haven't actually had a chance to play this. I was about ready to play it, but I was having internet issues with my computer, as the pre-show would hear when Danny and Ray were talking all robotically, and then I had to restart my machine. But yeah, Ray, I asked you this before. Did you have a chance to play this? I don't remember the answer.
I had a chance to play it. I just chose not to take it.
Right. Danny, how about you?
I did not play it.
I did not either.
Yeah. I haven't heard too much about it, to be honest. So I don't know if it's ended up being any good or not, but it sounded fun. So I'll probably check it out after the show. Now that my computer seems to be working a little bit better. But the bigger news of the week, Danny, there's something going on with Wild.
Oh boy. It has come to light. We foreshadowed this at the end of last episode, if you stuck around. But in Wild, Just for the backstory for everyone, there is a bot that's going around which disables your animations on your game, and this allows you to make infinitely large snip snaps. And Blizzard has started, they mentioned that they were going to start cracking down on it sometime this week, and all of a sudden a bunch of players are getting banned. So it's good in the right direction, but we have had some people step forward saying that they were unlawfully banned, that they did not cheat, and there have been many instances of this, and I don't know any specifics on the people if they have or have not cheated, but it seems like a lot of people who I would question if they would cheat generally are actually being banned on this. And there was one post that a guy made, went viral. He went through, listed every single one of the games that he's played with Snip Snap Warlock, and he got banned and has gotten a ton of attention on the interwebs.
Yeah. So if I read that post correctly, there is a bug associated with this, right? And it's not so much like botting or doing that. It sounds like it's more exploiting that bug that might be causing these people to get banned, right?
So
it's a bug that's exploitable that you may not be purposely exploiting is the problem.
I'm not so sure about that. I think that what's happening is they're intentionally changing a game file. I think that a game file is getting changed, and through the change of the game file, they're able to disable animations. That's what my belief is and what's going on with this.
Okay.
So, like, that is clearly cheating. If you're modifying the game itself, that is cheating. So, to all the people, because there are definitely people who are doing this. It's been caught on Scream. I forget the full guy's name who's done it, but there's like he has the name Wolf in his username. And like, people have gone on Scream and they've seen it. He goes about 6 minutes after, this guy did it a bunch of times against streamers and he just did it for the full time. And it went 6 minutes past the rope ending. So like the animation kept going for 6 minutes after of snip snaps being built, and then he killed him with like a 2 million snip snap. So there's definitely a bug with this. It's definitely something that needs to be addressed, but there are people who are being caught in the crossfire that are most likely not botting.
So the bug that I was talking about has something to do with the rope. And I don't know the exact details, but if you ever play, what's the dragon?
Nozdormu.
Nozdormu. His card says that a turn lasts like 15 seconds, and it actually lasts like 25 now. And and so this leads people to believe that there's a bug with how the rope system works. And with magnetic, it does something where it messes with that even more. And that's what people believe are happening. It's not so much that you're purposefully exploiting this bug. It's the interaction in the game is causing the bug. And it sounds like Blizzard might be cracking down on that, even though the players aren't intending for that to happen.
Maybe they're not even cracking down on it like intentionally. Maybe they were trying to catch like the snip snap botters.
Right.
And then like trying to implement whatever it is that catches those also got the innocent people that were just
sure. But with botting, there's usually an easier way of catching that, because they're like Danny said, it might be something where one, they're changing game files. You can potentially identify that, right? Two, if you're botting, you're probably using some kind of third party software that can be detected. So if you're not, so just playing snip snap normally wouldn't be catching that that bot, because you're not botting, you're not running this extra software, they can't detect that. So it is possible though that they decided, well, in addition to doing this, we're also gonna watch for these situations. And if they do that, that feels very bad. Like that doesn't feel like what they should be doing.
Especially because the guy who got banned is someone who's like notorious for over these past couple months of playing Snip Snap Warlock. So in theory, if you're playing the game so much, if this bug happens and you're doing it willingly or not, the people who are going to get caught, or not caught necessarily, the people who are going to get called out by this, get discovered that the bug is activated, are most likely the people who are either abusing it or playing the deck a lot.
Right.
So I mean, for my sake, I haven't played Snip Snap Warlock since this whole thing's gone on, just out of fear that, like, if they're tracking it and I accidentally do this, like, my account could be gone. Like, yeah. That's scary. I am now afraid to play a deck in Hearthstone.
Well, you're afraid to play a Snip Snap deck in Hearthstone.
Yeah. Well, one particular deck, yeah.
Yeah. I would, at this point, I would not recommend our listeners to play this deck just for that reason.
I think that with the state, unless Blizzard releases some sort of information saying, hey, this is what's happening, and gives us an update on it, I would stay away from Snip Snap. Maybe even including him in decks. I don't know if that goes that far, but like, I don't know, generating big boards of Snip Snaps is seeming to cause something to happen.
Yeah. So
banned.
Yeah, just get banned for playing a toxic deck. Blizzard, where were you long time ago? Man, if you get banned for playing toxic decks, we should have banned a lot of people back in the day.
Yeah. They've got new wind under them. Yeah. Oh, you play Big Priest? Banned.
Yeah, just... This deck is Barnes. Not allowed. Yeah, banned. Barnes. You got Barnes in your deck?
Barnes on four? All right, you can banned. Win this game, but you lose the... You can win the battle, but you lose the war. Your account is suspended.
Right. Are they permanent bans, or are they...
Yeah. So this guy was a permanent ban, yeah. And it was with no ability to go through and appeal.
Yeah.
He posted the email that he got, which is so I think that he ultimately is he's the person who is the exception to the rule in this, because he's the center of attention. And if Blizzard does realize that they screwed up on this, they're probably going to look into his case very closely. And if they say, hey, we screwed up, the guy's going to be able to come back. But imagine it's someone who doesn't go and make a gigantic Twitter post, which blows up on Reddit. Right. Imagine if someone else just gets their account banned and then it's like, oh, what did I do?
Right.
It's kind of silly.
You know what the funny part is if he was a popular streamer, he could get unbanned. Like, Toast exploited so many bugs to win games before. And he did get banned. Well, sort of. They accidentally banned the wrong Toast that one time. But
that's funny.
that was... anyways, he should have been a more popular streamer. Would have gotten unbanned.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So that's the solution in life, is just be more popular, and this won't happen. If it happens to you, you can get it cleared up very quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
That just actually have a life hack. That's a life hack. Be more popular.
Just be more popular.
There it is.
Or just have a lot of money. Like, that usually solves a lot of things, too.
But usually with money comes popularity. So, you know, just be more popular.
It's true.
Yeah. Be more popular, be more rich.
Life lessons from Well Met.
Yeah.
Be less ugly, but if you have enough money, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You can buy prettiness, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. Sure? I don't know. Yeah, all right, next.
Ray wouldn't know any of these, by the way. So, you know. Just
broke, anyway. Ugly Hearthstone player.
I know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So... At least I'm upstairs while Danny's in my basement.
Yeah, I can't even stream from the same room. I put a curtain in between us.
So there was some other news this week. It's more of the esports side, but wasn't the big esports news that we'll get into here in a little bit. Seiko, who is one of the grandmasters, had a little bit of an interesting dilemma that he tried to work with Blizzard on. And Ray, can you explain this a little bit on what happened?
Okay, so pretty much what happened was Seiko is one of the best auto chess players in the world, or at least on his server. He's like always top 10, rank 1, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a qualifier that you probably had to qualify for $1 million tournament. And that was during the same time as his Grandmasters match for that week. So he wanted to obviously play in the qualifier, and he asked Blizzard, hey, this is a thing that's happening. Can I play in the auto chess qualifier during Grandmasters? Which, honestly, when you say that and like when you hear that, you might think that's just stupid to even ask. And it's common sense that you shouldn't do that, because trying to do two things at once just sounds ridiculous. But I don't know, competitive players, they have a different mindset. Like, if I was in his position, I could easily see myself getting I don't know if distracted by like the money but like that is very enticing. Like playing in a $1 million tournament is life changing, right? And if I think that I have a really good chance to play it, I will do whatever it is in my power to be able to play in that event, even if it means doing something ridiculous. And yeah, that's kind of what happened. He did end up playing the Auto Chess tournament during his Grandmasters match because Blizzard did not say no. They said, if anybody can do it, you can do it. Even though I think what they meant was they didn't realize that. No. I think they didn't realize it was literally at the same time. Like, I don't really know how they interpreted that. Like, how do you interpret that as anything other than I'm going to do both at the same time? I don't really know. There was a big miscommunication there, or there was a communication that then got retracted where they brought that to their higher up, or maybe if he had his mic or his webcam turned off, nothing, this would have never been a thing. But either way, it was very obvious that he was playing, doing something else, and people knew he was playing in the Auto Chess qualifier, so people are making a really big deal out of it, which is fair. It is disrespectful to a degree to the competitive system and to Grandmasters to kind of just not care about it. But when you think of it from a purely monetary aspect, I think that it's very clear that the Auto Chess qualifier is worth way more than the Hearthstone Grandmasters match, which is only a value of $500, especially since he's not really in risk of relegation right now. I think that the chance of $1 million or losing $500 potentially, like if you just look at it from the money perspective, it's not even close. But I think the best thing he could have done was to just not tell Blizzard that he was playing in the Auto Chess qualifier and just said that he had to miss a week of Grandmasters, kind of like calling out of school sick, calling out of work sick, and then doing something else and just hope that it works out for you. That probably would have been the best play. I don't know. I think what he did was actually more respectful, like asking them.
Right. I 100% agree with that, because here's what could have happened if he had chose the other direction on not even telling Blizzard, right? Is you're just, or making up a story. You're just, at that point, you're just straight up lying about your intentions, right?
Yeah.
And that's not cool. Instead, you would rather work with, the company that is putting you in a position to, you know, while we make jokes about Grandmasters not being as good as it could be, you're still one of the top X players playing at the top level, right? Even though that top level could be a little bit debatable, I don't feel like it is that debatable. I guess what I should say is the competitiveness of that league right now might be up for debate just based on how players are taking it seriously or not. I think it's really good that he approached Blizzard. Two, he probably could have worded his intentions a little bit better, but that is not 100% on him. He said what he thought was clear, and the response that he got from Blizzard was not very clear. The response he got from Blizzard was basically, yeah, go ahead, right?
That's what I'm taking away from it. My perspective,
that's Blizzard's mistake.
So Blizzard, whoever the point of contact was, said, they didn't say yes or no, but they said specifically in the terms, if anyone could do it, you could. And then in that perspective, they're kind of challenging him to do that, saying, right, hey, if you're up for it, go ahead. And in that sense, I'm completely on the board with him at this point. I've gotten to the perspective of, if someone says, hey, if he's specifically asking, can I do this, expecting a yes or no answer. If you're wishy-washy with it and then you say, hey, if anyone could do it, you could, that leads me to believe that that isn't okay, because no one said yes or no. And then from there, that is just, I don't know. I feel that that's definitely that is an okay in my book, if anyone says that.
So in my opinion with this, if anybody was unprofessional in this manner, it was Blizzard at this point, right? Or whoever was, maybe not Blizzard in general, but whoever was the communicator from Blizzard. One thing that this Hearthstone team, not the Hearthstone team, but the Hearthstone esports team, which is completely separate from the Hearthstone team, so I don't want to get those two confused. The Hearthstone esports team, since the layoffs, I feel, has had a lack of vision, and then also a lack of communication. And being not just a lack of communication, but a lack of specific communication. And I really feel like if you want to be a leader at something, Whereas Hearthstone Esports would want to be a leader of esports, you need to make sure that your communication is very precise, and that the communication you are giving, it gives no fogginess around it. Very direct, very, you know, on points and everything, where it should have been answered. If there's questions about it, on maybe you didn't understand what he was saying, then return back with asking some questions about, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean that you're playing at the same time as this? Does this mean that you're going to be just playing on the same day? Do we need to reschedule something? Yada, yada, yada. Blizzard did not reply in that way, and they should have. Have that discussion. And then if the discussion was, well, this is when you're scheduled, and if it's at the same time, then no, you cannot do this for X reason, and then give the rule that they might have. And then that's on Seiko then to determine, well, do I now back out? Do I take the repercussions for this or not? And then he makes that decision there. Probably the decision on his point would still be playing in the auto chess tournament, but at least that decision's being made, right?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are really like just going in on Seiko in this situation without actually looking at it from his point of view. They're just like, oh, you're like a terrible person, you're disrespecting Blizzard and the system and whatever, which I do understand, and I actually do think that it is pretty disrespectful to do that. But at the same time,
he was given the okay.
He was given the okay, and even if he wasn't, that's still a really hard decision when you have that much money on the line. Like, you have to understand that Grandmasters is not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. It's about $50,000 a year, which, okay, yes, $50,000 for playing Hearthstone twice a week or whatever is really good, right? But there's a big difference between $50,000 for a whole year and $1 million windfall that you legitimately think you have a very good chance of winning.
Well,
right.
Right. At the same time, if I had a choice between taking the steady $50,000 a year or taking my chances for $1 million that I'm not guaranteed, I would probably start thinking about that $50,000.
It depends, man. I don't know. It depends how good you are. Like, if he legitimately thinks he's the best in the world and he's confident in that, then I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people who would be like, all right, let's go. I'm trying to win that $1 million.
Yeah, and you're taking a risk is what you're doing. But
do we know if he won or lost his auto chess?
He won. He won.
He won? Okay.
He's in the top 16.
So it's
top
worth
32.
It.
I mean, because now... Well, okay, so the problem is that like his next match is during the next week of Grandmasters, and now Blizzard is just like, no.
Oh, that's when you tell Blizzard, yes.
And but then he's not.
he's going not. On vacation next week. What are you talking about?
No. He already posted, like, yeah, I can't play in the auto chess qualifier. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not, like,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Now,
now
that bugs me a little bit. Now that bugs me a little bit. Because
that's what bugs me, too, yeah. Is, like, the backlash, like, he's... Like, a lot of these people are not used to, well, social interaction in general, to be honest, but to like, criticism. Like, heavy, like, people telling you, like, nobody should be used to that. People telling you that you're just, like, a terrible person. Stuff like that. Like, the people online were awful to him. And that probably traumatized him, to be honest. Like, at that point, like, you're really excited for this auto chess thing. You're feeling really confident. And then after, like, 100,000 people just tell you you're just a terrible person and blah, 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 you're disrespecting. However many, it probably wasn't 100,000. It was probably, like, 1,000 people. But either way, like, if you're just constantly seeing a flood of hate, you're just, like, you just want to crawl up into a ball and just, like, disappear and just do whatever they tell you. Like, you're just like, okay, I'm going to, like, bend the knee and play in the Grandmasters match and just give up on my auto chess dreams because I can't deal with this.
See, that's bullshit. Because I really feel like at that point he had already committed himself, right? on this auto chess thing. He won. He's in the top 16. He's already thinking, all right, if I'm going to play both and not do as well as a Hearthstone because I'm paying more attention to auto chess, I've already made my decision at that point that I'm going for the $1 million and Grandmasters is second to me. At that point, you just go all in.
Why would you not?
Because I think that the public opinion, think of it this way. Okay, all of his followers are from Hearthstone, right? All the people, all his friends, everything is from Hearthstone. And now all those people that loved you all of a sudden just hate you. They hate you.
You know what, people?
And they're just telling you all these horrible things.
Yeah.
And they're just like, imagine if he makes that decision to not do Grandmasters. Like, imagine.
But imagine if he wins $1 million.
Sure, but it's so hard. That's
life changing money.
But you can't, like, I think it is very difficult to not give in to just like all these people saying this stuff. It's like, I know it's bullshit and I agree with you. And I think people should not be doing that. But that's the case. That is what's happening, right? It's like when, I don't know, if a game does something that's controversial and then there's a bajillion people that are just like, blah, 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 blah. And then the game's like, okay, we won't put this in the game anymore.
Yeah. Like,
that kind of thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to do the auto chess. And then all your fans, everybody just like, blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, okay, I won't do the auto chess anymore. Like, I can't take this mentally.
Yeah, I get it. I get where you're coming from. At the same time, I'm just like, he's already committed himself to this. He's in the top 16. He has an extremely good chance at winning $1 million. Just go for it. Just go for it at that point, right?
I almost want to message him on Twitter and just be like, dude, just call in sick for Grandmasters. Yeah. Show, like, obviously they would know, but like I feel like they might just kick him out of Grandmasters. And then like, what if he doesn't win? I wouldn't actually have the heart to do that, because if he doesn't win, then it's just
you should like hit him up on Twitter right now and be like, dude, just come on the show right now. JR wants to talk to you. He'll be like, who the F is JR?
And dude, I should have asked him to be on the show this week. Actually, that would have
been
so
good. And then I would just be sitting there. And then I would just be sitting here just yelling at him, probably. I'm like, dude, just go for the $1 million. Why are you not going for the $1 million?
It's
just don't listen to these people.
But you have all these people that you respect too, like all the other pros that you look up to, and that you
know what? Those people will look up to you when you win $1 million.
That's also true. Like, if he decided to do that route, won $1 million, everybody would be like, oh my god, like what a god, like what a genius, like but
he pulls it off.
It's so hard to think like that when you're getting bombarded by the negativity. I think that social media just messes with your head if you're on the wrong end of the stick.
No, it totally does, and it's one of the reasons why I absolutely despise social media and why I try to cut how much I use it.
For me, it's more of a like people wish me luck at the hospital and stuff, and that feels really good, right? Yeah. Like, for me, it's all positives, but I could easily see that flipping on a dime, right? Like, if I did something that was bad, I don't know what I would even do that was bad, because I don't really do anything at all.
It doesn't even have to be anything that you did was bad. It just has to be something that someone perceives that you did was bad. And that's what happened to Seiko, because people perceive that as being bad. Even though, in my opinion, what he did was, he was told by Blizzard to go for it. What he did was not bad.
And what you're saying and what we're saying is actually a really controversial opinion. There were so many people that would be like, that are just like, no, this is disrespectful. Like, how could you defend him and stuff like that at all? Like, in any way possible. And I'm just like he's a human being. He's like 20 something, like early 20s. Like, I mean, like, you can't not factor in that the money will easily cloud your judgment, even if his judgment is right. Like, even I don't know.
Well, people are definitely snowballing off of the Grandmasters hate that's been going on. It's been cool to hate on Grandmasters as of recently, so that's what's happening there.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the things that I've started to recognize too is that now I think that we need to approach things from social media from a different perspective. I think that whenever you put something out there now, there are always going to be people who potentially dislike it, or they'll go in and they'll give you hate messages and everything. And in the past, when there was no social media, like you're interacting with people on a day-by-day basis, and even if they don't agree with you, because you're face-to-face with them, they'll go say, hey, I don't agree with this, and you'll have a measured conversation. But the anonymity of being on the internet and just having it, if someone says something online that I don't agree with, I'm gonna hit that downvote button, I'm gonna get angry, I'm gonna write a mean tweet or whatever. And I think that that's inherent in public communications now. Whenever you put something out there, you have to expect that there will be a negative backlash to it, no matter what. I think that that's just, that's the future going forward. And I think that that's where social media is directing us.
We live in a very vindictive culture now. And part of the reason for this is because you'll have X, Y, or Z company do something. It may not be a company, it may be a company, it may be a person, it could be whatever. Does or says something, and then people get up in arms about it. They start creating a mob, basically, and start, you know, maybe contacting their advertisers, contacting their sponsors, contacting their superiors, you know, whatever it is, to say this person did a what I perceive as a bad thing, and you should do something about it. And then what happens is those companies cave and they do something about it. And then so people are like, hey, we were successful, pat on the back to us all, we did something awesome and ruined someone's life over something they said. And that's the culture we live in now. So
brutal.
I think that we're also in the initial period of this too. I think that for the next couple of generations who grow up with this, they're gonna recognize this as being an issue. I think that because this technology is so new to us, I think that we are like the guinea pigs for it. We're testing it out, and then eventually people will realize, oh, this happens every single time whenever something like this happens. So it's going to be taken very seriously right now, but I think in the future it may just wean itself off, because they're going to recognize that there's always going to be a bunch of people on Twitter saying hateful comments about everything. Yeah,
but it's tough because at one point there are situations where those that type of stuff should happen.
I do agree. There is a line. It's a line.
And but the problem is that everybody treats that line basically the same right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big thing too is that there is no line drawn, and then the line is going to be very flexible, right? Where what one person believes crosses the line might not be what somebody else does, right? Yeah. And that's just general human interaction, right? Where I say something, I risk offending everyone. Like, if you don't like what I say on something, I risk offending anyone. And ultimately, with normal human discourse, someone could say, hey, I don't agree with this. But in the time where you have the internet, and instead of coming to my face and say, hey, I don't agree with this, now they can go in and circumvent that. Instead of having the normal public discussion, I can consider my thoughts again and say, hey, you know what, I might be wrong, or no, I agree with what my stance is. But this doesn't even give the person an opportunity to do that.
Right.
Oh, man. Dude, yeah. There was like one instant. Actually, this is something that happened last week where for HyperX, we did like a back to school checklist or something. And one of my teammates, Nakiel, who was the one who had cancer recently, on his to-do list was like play lots of League of Legends, like as a joke. And I responded to him, his tweet, and I was like, isn't that how he got cancer in the first place?
Oh.
and oh man, dude, I posted it in our group chat. I was like, do I do it? And somebody was like, do it, no balls. And then I did it, and then it was like, okay, you got some people that are just like, this is insensitive and wrong. And I'm like, really? Because we both think it's hilarious, and it really only involves us, right? Like, I don't know. But there was a bunch of people who were just like, this is not okay to say.
I probably would have been one of those people that would have been, that is not okay to say. Even though you think it's funny, I would be of the opinion.
Well, it's about the context, too, right? Where context, it's like, it's Ray saying that, too. Like, it's all in the context.
So, sure. So the situation might be if it's Ray saying that to his friend, right? And his friend thinks it's funny.
Where we both had cancer.
Right.
So that's why it's funny.
Yeah. I get it. I get the context, right? In that situation, it's funny. But let's say you're saying that in a public place where that context isn't seen, that's probably not okay. because
I think that like the context is implied though, because like most people who follow either of us know.
I don't think you can do that. Assume that. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Assume that.
Yeah, that might be true, but at the same time, I don't care. It was funny to me. I pulled the trigger. It was good. It gave us a good laugh. People were like, "Whoa!" Like shocked Pikachu phase.
That's pretty mild
to me. Like for my sense of humor, like that's a pretty like that's a throwaway. But like, oh, I'm so much worse in real life because like there's no Twitter police. But to me, it's funny. It's not anything that's actually bad because in the context of like amongst friends who know each other, it's funny.
Yeah.
And like we can laugh about it. It's a good way to cope.
I get that. I think for me, and it's so weird because I'm talking to this to someone who has literally had cancer. But cancer is such a sensitive topic to me. And it's because I've lost like so many people that have had it. It's something that I don't like it when people joke about it. But it's weird for me to tell you that as someone who has had and dealt with cancer yourself.
Yeah. I mean, people have different ways of like coping with it, right? Like for me, it's humor. Like when I went to go visit my friend, when I went to DC for Pokemon Worlds, who had a stage 4 cancer, he just like the first thing he told me was like, man, after like, cause he knew what kind that I had. And he was like, and once he figured out what he had, he was like, you had a P word cancer. Like, and then we were just laughing about it.
Mm. All right.
It was just like that, like, that's the kind of hue, like that helps like people cope in the moment. Like he literally had chemotherapy the next day and we were just like ripping each other new ones.
Yeah.
And like, that's just kind of
how some people
just
cope.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see that it's not something that you should say publicly. I just choose to sometimes do it anyways because I'm an idiot.
Moving on though. We did get some bigger esports news, some actual news. This sort of came out of nowhere though. Where they announced some major changes to the Masters qualifier and ladder, and Ray should be excited because ladder is gonna matter again, but in a, as you put it, a much more toxic way. So the biggest changes for the Masters qualifiers is that the Master Tour qualifiers will use the Conquest Best of 3. Three decks with a ban format. So not only are they going back to kind of the way that things used to be, they're going, okay, no more specialist, getting rid of that crap. That was a terrible idea. But they're not even going with the shield format that they use with Grandmasters.
So, yeah.
Well, at least they recognize that, right? They figured it out early. I'm giving them props on that.
Yeah. The Masters qualifiers will be expanded to a maximum capacity of 512 players. To reduce tournament links, we will be changing all Masters qualifiers to single elimination. If a player makes top 8 at least 6 times in a qualifying season currently, they will earn an invite to make this qualification path easier. We're reducing this number down to 5. So 5 times if you make a top 8, you can get qualified that way. We'll be going back to only awarding the first place competitor in Masters qualifiers with an invite to its corresponding Masters Tour event. We are adding more pack prizing to Masters. Who cares about that one? We'll be giving direct invites for Masters Tour events to the top 16 not yet invited ladder players from each region at the end of every month, totaling out to 96 invites per qualifying period. So that's pretty cool. So I got to go with Danny here that it's great that they're recognizing this quick and making some changes. What's funny to me is the fact that this should have never have had to happen in the first place. I don't know what they were thinking, what the changes they were making at the beginning of the year. So,
yeah, I think that overall, like, these are good changes to have. But they are going to have repercussions. I think that the tournament changes to best of one, single elimination. It's really good, just shorter tournaments. But I think that it still is a little bit too all or nothing. Only rewarding the winner feels really bad for people who get close. There is a stipulation of 5 top eights making it, which is really good. If they did not have that, this whole system would be terrible. I think the ladder changes are good for people like me who can realistically achieve that goal, and it gives us something to work towards while we stream, and just in general we'll feel good accomplishing that goal. But I think it will be very toxic. On the last day of an on season, you could hit rank 1 legend and that wouldn't hold top 100 some of the time. Imagine now, where people are not camping anymore, you'd have these huge breakpoints while you were in top 100 legend, right? Where you'd go from like 50 to 30. And then from 30, you would go from like 30 to like 29 to 27 to 25 to like 21. And then you just go from like 21 to top 10. Like, you'd have these breakpoints where people would start camping at certain ranks because they need a certain amount of points. And then you would just be able to break free from that and jump to the next one. Well, now everybody only needs top 16, which means everybody has to play all the time. There's no camping. Every aspect, there's not going to be any jumps. You're not going to jump from 50 to 30 and then from like 20 to top 10. There's not going to be any crazy jumps anymore like there was before, where you saw people jumping around. There's just going to be everybody playing, and it's just going to be an overall miserable last day experience in general. It's going to be very rewarding if you can get there, but I don't know if they thought about the whole, like, the way that it actually is going to work, and then the rope queues, and then like that one person who gets rope queued and ends up getting 17th.
Yeah.
Even though like their clients said that they were 15th during the, it's going to be a shit show, to be honest with you. Like, there's no other way to describe it.
So we saw this during the Wild Open when there was one breakpoint, and that breakpoint was at 200. And it was a crazy last day where, like, what was the last game? I forget who it was, but someone went from like rank 5 all the way to rank 175 in one game because they were camping for a good amount of the day. But like, I don't know. Just seeing how crazy it became when you have not even the full Hearthstone population playing for 200 spots makes me think that this last 16, like condensing it so far up to 16, is going to be nuts.
Yeah. I mean, if I like the format, I'm kind of excited about it. But if I don't find a deck that I really enjoy playing and I don't enjoy the metagame, it's going to just be miserable. And I probably just won't even do it because it's just not worth it. It's,
I mean, we consider it Hearthstone on challenge mode, right? Like, you've said that there's lax competition in this, but like, this is going to be insanely competitive. I think it gets boiled down more or less to RNG at the end, but there's going to be a way to make it very distinct where it's like, are you top 16 in the world or are you not?
Yeah, I think that I can easily do it if I actually want to. It's just a matter of, is it worth going for it? I think it's not worth it unless the Masters Tour that you're qualifying for is near you, like for NA. Like, if it's for like an APAC month or something, like if the Masters Tour for that month's qualifier is in like APAC or Europe, and it's something that I really just might not even go to, even if I were to qualify, I'm just not going to even bother, right? But if it's for like Vegas, like if that's how you qualified for Las Vegas, then I am just like, I'm just sitting at my computer 24 hours on the last day, just grinding it out, you know, just getting there. Like, it's just a matter of where the Masters Tours are for me and how many other people are going to go. And just like, the EV is all in whether or not it's close and whether or not people are going to be going and how much the prize pool is. I like, these are things that we just don't even know the information for yet. Hopefully we'll find it out soon. But I just, you're really gonna have to want to go to that Masters Tour to grind this out. That's what I'm gonna say. You're gonna really have to want it. And honestly, I think it's only worth it if you are, like, if it's domestic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I really like the changes that I like the fact that they made ladder kind of be a thing, right? I agree with you that's gonna be pretty crazy, but I also think it's going to be pretty crazy even if they had made the cap at like 100, right? it just seems like no matter where the cap was going to be, it would probably be kind of insane. I think I would have liked to have seen it about 25, just because that seems like a round number. And I'm just wanting to change things for the sake of changing things, I guess. But the Masters Tour also has some changes as well. We'll be changing the format for the Masters Tour to Conquest Best of 5. Four decks with a ban format starting at Bucharest. And we are scaling back the number of Swiss rounds each Masters Tour has from the current 12 down to 9. We'll be moving to a single elimination bracket for the top 8 of Masters Tour events.
Woo!
So
that's by far the best. I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, were complaining about Conquest Best of 5, but honestly, it's the best format for viewers. Like, you get to see three different decks each round from like any given player. I think that it's the best format for viewers. I mean it is what it is. If people that are in Grandmasters are like, oh, this format takes less skill, I don't think that matters. I think they need to get their viewers back. I think that, like, we need Hearthstone to be more exciting, and seeing a diverse lineup of decks is really one of the things that made watching Hearthstone tournaments special to me. It's just seeing all the different decks.
I did like the little graphic that they had that showed the breakdown of invites. Of course, they have the for the Masters Tour, of course, they had the Grandmasters at 48, ladder finishes 96, Masters Tour qualifiers 120, Masters Tour 7-2 or better finishes 32, the China Gold Series had 30, five top eight finishes in qualifying period, they roughed that out to probably about 12, and then third party events as well, they roughed that out to about 12, for about a total of 350 people probably qualifying for the Masters Tour. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they broke that down a little bit and gave us some numbers there. Beyond that, probably the other biggest news is this is my favorite one right at the end, because this is the one that Danny was most excited about. Is it said, in addition to the above changes, our tournament platform partner Battlefy is excited to share additional features they have been working on.
You automatic concede feature, let's go.
Shout outs to Battlefy.
Oh man, Battlefy up in their game. All right, they're gonna be putting a limelight for these next upcoming weeks.
I love how, oh my god, dude, there's so much like behind the scenes stuff with like them trying to get a contract. It's just hilarious. Like, this is the fact that they're still using Battlefy, and the fact that it's probably still just gonna be terrible again. It's just like, we've been to this rodeo before. I know, I've seen this movie. I know what's I already know what's gonna happen. Like, I know the ending.
Man, I'm just so Battlefy,
they're setting themselves up right now. They're queuing everything up. It's all set up. It's like a house of cards at the moment. And they're just they're stacking more and more on top. I'm waiting for that bottom card to fall.
A house of Hearthstone cards.
It's like one of those deja vu movies where you just like keep seeing the same situation over and over. What was the train one where you like kept having to replay the day over and over again? You know what? Never mind.
Oh, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
One of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, that one.
It's a great movie. Love that movie.
It's like that, but never going to figure out how to save us.
It's like
we're
that.
We're never going to save the day.
It's like that, but a pile of crap.
There's no happy ending.
Yeah.
And unless there is in the future, but we're still in, like, you know, we're still in the midst of it. We're still in the mud a little bit, but that's okay. Yeah. We're getting there.
But in the end, these changes, that everything that they've talked about here is pretty exciting. These are good changes for where we were at. I'm glad that I crap on the Hearthstone esports team a lot, and they deserve a lot of that, right? But kudos definitely to them to kind of realize and be willing to make changes on feedback and trying to make their platform better. It's just funny that they're moving back towards what worked before they decided to turn everything on its head.
Yeah.
It's slowly going back to the old way that actually made sense.
But hopefully, instead of just like saying, all right, we're just going to try something completely new, they just work on improving the stuff from before. Like,
yeah.
Last year was almost really good. There was just too many tournaments, so people just stopped caring because there was so much saturation in the market. Now, after that, they were just like, all right, this didn't work. Like, we're just going to overhaul everything and just have this whole new thing that is out of left field. Instead, they could have just worked on the system from last year. Now they realize that this didn't work, so that we're going backwards. We're going back to square one. But hopefully, instead of just like erasing the drawing board and starting all over again, they just improve on it instead of just throwing it in the trash and trying something new.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm definitely going to give them kudos for this. So, good job, guys. So, anything else you guys wanted to talk about on that?
I'm good.
All right. We were going to talk a little bit about the meta. No. We were going to talk a little bit about the meta. But honestly, it's not. I mean, we can discuss a little bit. It hasn't changed a lot since we talked about last week, right?
Same as last week. We're done.
Same as last week. Combo Priest is a little more prevalent. People are playing that more. Is that about
Snip,
it?
Snip Snap Lock's a good deck. Just don't play it.
Don't play Snip Snap Lock. Anything else?
Aggro Warrior. I am a huge advocate of Aggro Warrior.
Talked about that last week. That seems to be getting more and more traction. Highlander Hunter is climbing the ranks still. It's probably the second best deck in the game right now. I guess that's about it. All right. It's time to get out of here. Emails. We didn't have any new emails this week, but if you'd like to email us, wellmet@blizzpro.com. We'd love to get your emails and answer them, or, you know, just if you're feeling bored and just want to be like, you know, just tell a story about Ray or tell us a story about your Hearthstone climb, then that would be cool. And we'll read it and talk about it. So wellmet@blizzpro.com. Patreon. We had a new patron this month. Or this week, I should say. So thanks so much to F. I didn't get the full name. It just literally says new patron F. I'm like, all right. Hopefully that's not a grade that I'm getting. And is your name. So thanks so much, F, for joining the Patreon. If you'd like to also join, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. I think as low as $1 gets you in. $1 a month gets you in, and you get like the pre-show, post-show. You get the show about a day earlier than everybody else as well, and all of that cool stuff. And iTunes, Apple Podcast reviews, if you'd like to leave a review there, just do a search for podcasts for Hearthstone and you'll find us. Leave a 5-star review and or even less if you want. And we'll read it on next week's show. It's a great way to help us get found by other Hearthstone-loving people like yourself. So, shout-out to how can people get in touch with you. Who am I going to go with? Danny.
You know what? Battlefy made some improvements. Let's hope they don't screw it up as they always do. My shout-out goes out to you.
Classic.
That's my go-to giveaway.
You can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
Awesome. How about you, Ray?
Shout outs to anybody who's still listening. All the people who wish me luck on Twitter. I appreciate it. Hopefully I'll be back on the normal grind soon. You can find me on Twitter at @PG_RayC. We verified now. Let's get it.
How the heck do you get verified on Twitter? You don't do anything.
I think it was Twitch. I think it was either Twitch or Geico. I don't know, dude. I have no idea.
I literally woke up.
Was there another ray that came up? They could do that. Sometimes they verify people if like another ray becomes popular. So if there was a ray 592,
they would have given it to you. No. Because Twitter gaming followed me too. So I think it definitely has to do with gaming. I just don't know how or why or where or who or what.
You know, there is a Ray C 592 on Twitter.
I bet there is.
If not, there is going to be in a couple minutes.
No, there is. Like, I'm looking at it right now. Like, go to twitter.com/RayC592.
Is it like an actual profile?
No, it is literally your profile. I think someone made a joke because they tweeted at you. They tweeted at you, "I'm hungry."
What? Oh, wait, it's my picture.
Right.
It says, "I have awoken." That was their first tweet. "I have awoken," and then "I'm hungry."
And they tweeted at you, "I'm hungry." Their profile says there can only be one Racy. And they're following.
Oh no.
And the only person they're following is you.
Oh no. I'm kind of scared.
Oh man, that's hilarious. It looks like they created that back in July too, so it's not something that I just now made. That's funny.
I didn't even see that.
I just decided to look it up because Danny said something about Ray C. Is there a Ray C 592? And I'm like, I don't know. Is there?
All right, go follow Ray C 592. Apparently.
Oh man.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That's a thing.
So weird.
Yeah. Well, I got caught up on all that. Did you said where people can find you and everything, right?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah,
cool. As for me, I don't have any shout outs this week, other than just everybody that's still listening and all of that through our awesome intro and our off base outro we're having right now. You can find me on Twitter over at Eldorian. So thanks for tuning in for episode 213 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.